Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
We've been in the middle of a series on sonship. And ladies, like I said, just because the title is sonship doesn't mean we're not speaking about you. So whenever you hear the word sonship, just translate in your mind daughters. And as you turn to Matthew chapter 4, you ever tried to talk and think on your feet and it's not working? All right. Matthew chapter 4, we're looking at a specific situation with, most of your Bibles call it the temptation of Christ. But I want to bring your attention back to this. We talked about this last week. We're talking about sonship. There's no better example of the environment of a son or lady as a daughter than the environment that Jesus demonstrated, right? So Matthew chapter 4, it says, and Jesus was led by the Spirit. Some of the writers, it's either Mark or Luke, make mention of the fact that he was led by the Spirit while he was in the wilderness, not just led into the wilderness, but in the midst of that, he was also led. So Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and after he'd fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you're the Son of God, really in the Greek New Testament it's the word since you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered and said, and I love this because, you know, in our English translation Bibles it says, and he answered. But literally, the Greek New Testament says he received the answer. Everybody say received. How many know the authentic environment of a son is father's always speaking? Right? The Spirit of the Lord is always speaking. So The writers of the New Testament, whether it was Luke or Mark, they got it right when they said he was led while he was in the wilderness. Matthew just mentions that he was led up by the Spirit, but he received the answer and said, it is written, man will not live. Literally, it said, it stands written, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Everything that's spoken out of the mouth of Father, that's what man is created to function in that environment. And he goes on to say, there's a number of other things that the tempter went ahead and tried to hit him with. In verse 7, no, it says, well, let's go to verse 9. The devil said to Jesus, all these things I've given you, these things have been given to me. If you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give them to you. All these things have been given to me. If you fall down and worship me, I'll give them to you. Verse 10, Jesus said, go, Satan, for it's written, or it stands written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Now, all these things took place after Jesus met with John, and go back a chapter. Chapter 3. In verse 14, all these things with the devil happened after Jesus met with John, and as he says in verse 14 or verse 13, he says, I'm going to be baptized by you. And John says, John tried to prevent him in verse 14 and said, I have need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. And Jesus said, it's necessary that, you know, permitted at this time, for in this way it's fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So they went ahead, and it says in verse 16, after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens are opened. Everybody say, the heavens are opened. Folks, it's important for you to understand that this is the authentic environment of a son. Ladies and daughter, we don't pray and ask God to open the heavens, because they are. The only place they're closed is between your two ears, if that's the way you think. So many times we come to prayer meetings and all we do is ask for things we already have, or ask God to do things we don't have enough guts to do ourselves. He's asked us to step into some things. You know, we don't need to go pray over a city, God send revival, because you're it. It's in there. All he's asking for you to do is the authentic environment of a son or a daughter is just like Jesus demonstrated, to be led by the Spirit of God in the midst of anything. And if you'll just act on what he gives you, revival will be there. Right? So in this environment, in this situation, John baptized Jesus. And it says in verse 16 that as he was baptized, the heavens were opened. There's not another verse. I thought I better clarify this. Because when I asked this question last week, everybody looked at me like, what are you talking about? And I asked the question, when did the heavens ever close? Because we sure do act like today that they are. There's not a verse in your New Testament that says that the heavens ever closed after they opened when Jesus was baptized. In fact, Jesus, if you read John's account, Jesus made a statement to Nathanael. He says, you're impressed by all of this, because he had a word of knowledge and said, you know, I saw you as you were sitting under the fig tree. And that was long before he had ever got there and met them. And Nathanael was impressed. He said, this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he told Nathanael, you're impressed with this, you're going to see angels ascend and descend upon the Son of Man. And he was specifically referring to the situation where Jacob saw the ladder come out of heaven into the earth and rest upon the earth. So Jesus functioned in the environment of an open heaven. That's the authentic environment of our son or our daughter. The heavens are already open. They're not closed. So look what happened here. It says the heavens were open in verse 16, and you saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting upon him. It didn't say that the Holy Spirit turned into a bird. It's the best way the writer could describe the way a dove lands upon something. It's the best way he could describe what he saw when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and rested upon him. And notice what the next verses say in verse 17. And behold, a voice out of heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Folks, we've talked about you know, water baptism in the past, but just if you don't get anything else out of it, and Peter brings this out in his writings, I think it's in 2 Peter, that the Father's purpose for water baptism for you is so that he can participate with you in the experience of you realizing that here is your Father looking on, and he's saying to you when you come up out of the water, you're my beloved Son, you're my beloved daughter, in you I am well pleased. Can you get that? That environment is why Father wants us to participate in water baptism, because it's just like, you know, when I was a little kid, when I had little kids, and we would go and, you know, baseball games or whatever, you know, and you just get to participate. It was a new experience for your kid, and he was realizing some things. Well, Father wants you to realize, and he wants to see it. He wants to participate with you in you realizing, I really am a son, I really am a daughter. I really can stand in the presence of my Father with my conscience clean. Peter brings that out in 2 Peter. That's the purpose of water baptism, is for you to be able to stand in the presence of your Father and realize you have a clean conscience. And He wants to take part with that, in that with you. And it's a daddy thing. Anyway, so a voice out of heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Now go over to Colossians. Colossians. We won't read the entire letter, but I want to bring some things out that I believe your Father wants you to see this. Colossians chapter 1 says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, grace to you and peace from the Father." Everybody say, "Peace from my Father." And again, that word peace in the original Greek New Testament literally is a carpentry word, and it's a picture of two joints. You know, we just moved, and I got the privilege of having to fix a drawer because it was bad carpentry. Well, we didn't have the nice, strong, dovetailed joints in the corners. But this Greek word is literally speaking of that union between a dovetailed union that you see in carpentry, and those two pieces literally become one piece. And that's what he's speaking of here, and your Father did that for you. It says that grace, or the working of His power because of His presence, and that union of being one with Him came from your Father. And we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, praying always for you, since we heard of your prayer and your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you had for all the saints. Now, jump forward. And let's look at, again, just for a second review, chapter 1, verse 9. He says, "Because of the love that we had, what we heard of your love in the Spirit, for this reason also, since the day we heard it, we've not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you be filled." Everybody said, say filled. "Be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." He's asking and he's praying for the church at Colossae to be completely filled up with the revelation from the Spirit of God of what Father's will is. He told the Corinthians the reason why He gives you His Spirit is so you might freely know all those things that He gives you. Right? Jesus said in Matthew that man was created to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That means even right now. Did you know that when you go eat at a restaurant, or you go to a Walmart, or you go to Home Depot, or you go to wherever you go, do you know that Father is saying things? He's saying things. And He's saying things to you about those around you. Paul says, "I pray that you will be completely filled up with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that," in verse 10, "you'll walk around in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing," everybody say increasing, "in the knowledge." So how do we increase in our revelatory knowledge of Him? He reveals things to us. We walk those things out. The results teach us more things. And so then we continue to grow. That cycle is how Father has designed for us to grow up into Him. We live from revelation He gives us by His Spirit. We walk those things out. They become who we are. And we begin to see the results of those things. And those results teach us continually more things about who He is and what He does and how He thinks. So it's a continual process. Folks, you'll never learn all that there is to know about your Father by sitting and reading the print. normal things. Do you understand that? You'll never learn all there is to know about your Father by sitting and reading print. He didn't design it that way. He designed for us to, for Him to give us revelation from the print, make it become us, we walk it out, and he teaches us things from as a result of that, and then we go back and we learn some more, we walk that out, He teaches us things, and it's a process, it's a hear and do, it's a see and do, it's not just a see. Right? So, verse 12, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. Everybody say, He's qualified me. To share in the inheritance of the saints. He rescued you out from the dominion and authority of darkness, and He transferred you into the authority of the kingdom of His Son. So He took you out from under the authority of something and put you in authority over something. Now, all things are created both in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. We know that. Thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities. All things are created through Him and for Him. He's before all things, and in Him all things hold together. You're seeing a lot of Him in these verses. Did you notice that? There's a lot of talk about Him. He's before all things in verse 17, chapter 1. And in Him all things hold together, verse 18. He's also the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will become to have first place in everything. Verse 19. It was Father's good pleasure for all of the fullness. Now say all the fullness. To dwell in Him. Now, at least you say, well, that's all Him. Paul also wrote that you are complete in Him. Right? You're complete in Him. It actually says, and you're filled with the very same fullness. Did you know you're filled with the very same fullness? Okay? Through Him, He reconciled all things. Father reconciled all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of the cross. And through Him, whether things on earth and things in heaven, although you were formerly alienated and hostile in your mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death, and in order to present you before Him, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Isn't it interesting that most people ignore that verse? Is that in your Bible, or is that, did I just write that in mine? That the reason that Jesus went to the cross and paid the lien against the entire human race was so that He would present to Himself you, holy and blameless, and beyond reproach. Now, how come if he did what He did to present you holy and blameless and beyond reproach, how come you refuse to see yourself that way? Because I could step into any room full of any Christians and I could say, okay, how many of you are holy and without reproach, and not one single person probably raised their hand. When your Father specifically is telling you that He did that for you. Well, I don't feel that way. What do your feelings have to do with anything? Since when? Find me the verse that says, man shall live by every feeling that comes out of his head. No, Jesus said we're to live by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of a daddy, not out of your own emotions. Right? See, this is important, folks. I'm going to tell you why it's important. Do you notice? Go back to verse 19. It says it was Father's good pleasure for all of the fullness to dwell in Him. And He says that you are filled with the very same fullness. And in chapter 3, this is only chapter 1. If you go to chapter 3, He literally says that to seek those things which are above where Christ sits Because in his letter to the Ephesians, he said that he seated you in the very same place. So in Colossians, he said, seek those things which are above. In fact, just hold your place here and go over to Colossians chapter 3. He says, since you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things which are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you have died. How many are dead in here? You've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Is that a potential or is that a statement of fact? It's a statement of fact. So then why do we give the way we feel that much credence? See, you're either going to walk in what Daddy says about you, or are you going to say, you're lying to me, and I'm going to walk on my own, whatever I feel. But there's reasons why he did what he did, and we're going to get to that in a minute. He said, you've died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Again, the Greek New Testament is not talking about when this whole thing is over with and you're in heaven. It's important for you to understand that, because we read everything in an eschatological manner to where, you know, there's here on earth and then there's in heaven. And so you interpret every verse that Paul writes about in that framework, and he's not saying that at all. Are you seated at the right hand of God? He said, seek those things above where Christ is. Now, is that when you get there? Or is that now? So if it's now, he's not talking about then, is he? He's talking about now. So he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand. Set your mind on the things above. Not when you get there, but right now. Not on the things that are on the earth, because you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. It's not hidden with Christ then, it's hidden with Christ now. Right? So therefore, if everything is now, then verse 4 is not then, it's now. Whenever, in fact, what it really says is not when Christ, but whenever Christ, which means at any given moment, any given time frame, any situation that you're in, that Christ reveals, that which is from heaven gets revealed to you, and you walk those things out, because he's already talked about that. Whenever, in any situation he's revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. In other words, the results of what you're looking at because you walked out what he showed you to walk out, or you said what he told you to say, those results, that life is as much your life that came out as much as it is his, because your life is hidden in him. There are no, it's not two separate things. But see, a lot of this is so much of this is theory to us because we've just become comfortable. We like just reading print instead of just getting out there and interacting with him and letting him teach us that way. We want to do it both ways. You get revelation from the Spirit of God when you read. He shows you how to think, get your mind straight. But then he doesn't stop talking to you once you leave the church building or leave your couch. He's always talking to you out there, right? So, let's go over here real quick. Go back to chapter 2. In verse 6, he says, therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Well, Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 says, having been buried with him in baptism, we talked about that, in which you also were raised up with him. Everybody say, I was raised up with him. Through faith in the working of God. Everybody say the working of God. Now, I want you to see that. I want you to hold on to that phrase, the working of God. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him. So it was the working of God who raised him. What was the working of God? Well, go forward. He says, as you've received Christ, in the same way you received him, walk in him the same way. Well, if you received him through faith in the working of God, then we're supposed to walk in not our own working, but his working, right? What he's doing. His energy, His power. Not our own efforts, not our own thinking, not our own ideas, not our own anything, but walking in His working, the working of Him. Because the working of Him, He's trying to get us someplace, trying to take us someplace. He's trying to move us from where we are to where He sees us already. Okay? He already told you that in Christ is all of the fullness of all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, right? So we want to walk in Him, because then we're going to walk in having access to all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, correct? I don't know about you, but I'd rather walk in His wisdom and His knowledge than my wisdom. Right? I've walked in mine, it sucks. I'd rather walk in His. It was like the word says, don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your steps. Right? That's talking about, that's the way a son or a daughter functions. And so, He said He gave you, in Him He put all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ, and also all the fullness of Him. Now get this, folks. Where does Father say that you live? In Him. In the same place that He put all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and all of the fullness of Him. Think about this. Now let's jump forward. Go to same chapter, chapter 2, look at verse 11. It says, in Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. What does that mean? He just frankly disconnected your natural man from having the influence over you. You're no longer subject to, without any choice, what your natural man thinks, feels, wants to do, doesn't want to do, any of that. It's important you understand that, because the new creation man is a man that lives out of his spirit, who he really is, not just out of his mind and his emotions. So he said what he did in Him, verse 11, he severed the influence of your natural man from you. Verse 12, having been buried with Him, because remember you said you were dead, right? If He died, you died, and you acknowledged that. So having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through the faith of the working of God who raised Him from the dead, when you were dead in your trespass, through your transgressions, verse 13. I mean, no, you're not dead in your transgressions now. Let me say that again. How many know you're not dead in your transgressions now? It says, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven all of your transgressions. Now, that phrase, having forgiven, in the Greek New Testament, the original language of the Greek New Testament, of the New Testament, that word, having forgiven, first of all, it's not the picture of not the picture of this. Now you see it, now you don't. The New Testament version of the New Testament being forgiven, it's not covered. It's eradicated. See, I mean, if I take this off, it's still there. That's the concept that most people have when it comes to being forgiven. Yeah, I'm forgiven, but it's still there. No, it's not there anymore. It's not there at all. In fact, the thing that's interesting about that word, having been forgiven, is the fact that it's, you know, without getting too technical about it, it's in the middle voice. Everybody say middle. What that simply means is the fact that when it says that Father, having forgiven you all your transgressions, it simply means that he did it and he wants to participate in the results of his actions. He wants to participate. He did it so he could participate in the results of your transgressions being eradicated. I'm going to say that again. Father eradicated your transgressions so that he could participate in the results with you of those transgressions being eradicated. And then it goes on to say, having canceled the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against you that were hostile to you, and he took them out of the way. Now, excuse me. I want you to, how many have ever lost a piece of clothing because of it got a grease stain on it? Man, I hate that. My wife, you know, I have a nice shirt on. She'll say, honey, why don't you take that off before you eat? And I'll say, no, I'm good. And then I spill something on it, and then it's wrecked. And it doesn't come out. So then I either walk around associated with the stain the rest of my life, or I have to pitch the shirt. Well, I want you to understand this. When it says that he took it out of the way, it says, he, having been forgiven all your transgressions and having canceled out the certificate of debt, he took it out of the way. I want you to understand what this is speaking of. I want you to get this picture. From the fall of man forward, every human being has been identified with the stain, the grease stain, so to speak, of sin. Since the fall of man. What's been the effect of that? Well, just go back in your memory. If you can't remember, go back and when you get home, go read it. From the time that Adam made the decision and he aligned himself up under someone other than Father, then when God appeared in the cool of the day to walk with him like he always did, what did Adam do? He ran. Why? Because from the point of his decision and the fall of man, he became identified with the grief stain of sin, and it causes you to withdraw. Right? Look what happened when Peter denied Christ. What did he do? Did he man up and say, yeah, I did. It was wrong. No. He took off and ran. Jesus had to go pursue him. So when it talks about the fact that when Father, He essentially severed your association with that grease stain. Now get this. He did it because he wanted to participate in the results of his actions. How so? He severed your relationship with that stain of sin so that you could enjoy the fullness of him. Right? But, hold on, ultimately the reason he did it was because while you were enjoying the fullness of him, he got to enjoy the fullness of you. Because with whether you realize it or not, most people never let him enjoy the fullness of them. Because in their mind, they're still associated with some kind of deficiency. And you can tell that's the case because you stand aloof to him. He gave you all of himself. He didn't hold anything back. He gave you all of him. But he gave you all of him, and he put you into himself. He put you into the fullness of him And he eradicated your association, and he severed you from the identity of that grief stain of sin, so that in you experiencing the fullness of him, that he finally would get to experience the fullness of you. Because that's what he wanted. So, what does that look like? Well, we jump forward to chapter 3 and look at what it says. Because we're still speaking about the authentic environment of a son. Lady is a daughter. See, maybe you haven't realized that. I know I never really had this thought until the Spirit of God spoke this to me, that this is the reason why he did what he did. Because from the fall of man forward, he never again got to experience the fullness of you. Because you're always hiding something. Never comfortable with it. Never want to. I don't want to. You know, and even you know, you could say even nowadays. I mean, the church world. Most people are not comfortable in his presence. It's odd to them. It's weird to them. It's not. You know, they're more comfortable in their own presence. So we just get a bunch of people in a room that are all comfortable with their own presence, and we don't need his. We can just enjoy each other's, because it's less work. You can everybody can hide behind the mask. Everybody can hide behind the veil. Everybody can, you know, only show what they want to be shown. You know, nobody's really 100%. See, Jesus. Why do you think Jesus said, "Whom the Son sets free is free"? Because what Jesus wanted to do, what Father's desire was to put you into the fullness of him, and then when you experience the fullness of him, all of your guard, everything melts away, and you finally let him enjoy the fullness of you. Because that's what he wanted. What happens in a city when you have a group of people that are willing to let God enjoy the fullness of them because they enjoy the fullness of him? What happens? Well, I'll show you what happens. Glad you asked. Right here in Colossians chapter 3. And it says in verse 8. He says, "But now you also," the same ones that he said, "seek those things which are above where Christ sits, because your life is hidden in him. You died. The life that's now revealed out of you is actually yours and his life combined." And he says, because of all that, he says, now, if I say now, you could say like this, at this very moment that I'm speaking to you, now, he says, "put aside anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth." You know why? Because all those things come from somebody who's guarded and veiled. That's not coming from somebody who's completely transparent. So all of these attributes that he's telling you to lay aside, he's telling you to lay them aside because, A, that's not who you are. You used to act that way because as the new man, as the natural man, before you came into the kingdom of life, this is how you were, because all of these things are just simply symptoms of masking what's going on in your inside of you. Does everybody agree with that? Absolutely. That's the reason they're in there. The only reason that people act stupid is because something's going on in them and they don't want anybody to know about it, so it becomes everybody else's issue. But Father sets you free from all of that. So this isn't even an activity that the new man would even. Because if we learn how to live completely in the fullness of you, as he sets you free from you, then these things aren't even attributes that are in your life. He says, "but now, at this very moment, put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech with your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Since," everybody say since. since you laid aside the old self. He's not saying if. He's saying since you did, because you just got done reading in the very first part of chapter 3 that your life is hidden in Him. You died, He died, you were raised. When He was raised, you were raised. So that old guy doesn't even exist anymore. What exists now is someone who's placed, who lives, moves, and has their being in the fullness of Father, so that Father can live and enjoy and have His being in the fullness of you. So He says, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and having put on the new self, who is being renewed, that's in the present tense, so it's an ongoing, constant thing. Aren't you glad it's an ongoing, constant thing? If you ever meet somebody that says, man, I have so totally arrived, you need to look at him and say, you are so totally deceived. Because you're always constantly being, as long as you're hanging around with Father and His fullness, it's going to cause you to constantly be being renewed. That's why Paul said in Ephesians, be being filled with the Spirit. It's an ongoing, constant thing. Live your life, be being under the influence of Holy Spirit all the time. That doesn't mean you get weird and you don't use your heads and you just kind of float around and you're not any good to anybody. That means you are constantly allowing Him influence in what's going in your ears, what's going on in your mind. You constantly let Him have influence there. So, with your new self, everybody say, my new self. Next time you see somebody, you say, look at your new self. With your new self, it's being renewed on an ongoing, constant basis to the true knowledge or the revelation knowledge or that which is being revealed by the Spirit of God to you, but it's along the lines of or according to the image of the One who created you. So we read in the past that the way you learn things from Him is not just from print. You allow the Spirit of God to reveal things from His print, but then you put those into practice in your life, and they become who you are, and then you get to observe and firsthand learn from what the results produce. And it teaches you more about how your Father thinks. And so in that way, He's solidifying to you the reality of who you really are. Why do you think there's so much insecurity in the folks that say they're His kids? Because there's a whole lot of book training, but not a lot of on the job, I know who I am because He showed me as I'm letting Him flow through me training. We've got to have both. Because both of them, I mean, the OJT is what solidifies to you. I mean, in Him realities are great, but you can learn in Him realities a whole lot faster if you're letting Him live in you and you're letting Him become you and you just move with Him and go with Him and He teaches you by the results. And then all of a sudden now it's solid for you. But notice, jump down to verse 12. We'll close with this. So, as those who have been chosen of God, how many have been chosen of God? Absolutely. Holy and beloved. That'll just rock your religious belt and tip it over, won't it? He chose you. Father chose you. And like we saw in previous letters, a previous writing, this letter, He chose you to see you holy and beloved. That's what you are. So as that, put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive them. Now let me ask you a question. Did the Lord just cover over your transgression so that He could recall it at any given time when it's convenient? Okay, Joe, I wasn't going to bring this up, but you're really not doing what I want you to do. So, do you remember that time? He'll never do that to you. Because when it says He eradicated your transgressions, He did. And so these verses are simply saying, this is what someone who is living in the fullness of you. If you're living in the fullness of you, this is how you act. Anybody here today? If you're living in the fullness of you, if you're living in the guarded you, you don't act this way. If you're living in the "I got to protect myself" you, you're not living this way. If you're living in the "I got to make sure that, you know, I'm safe," you're not living this way. Because it's only the person who's living, enjoying his fullness, and in turn, because they're enjoying his fullness, they're allowing the fullness of who he's made them as the new man to be. This is how you function. This is how you create. This is how you live. You're full of a heart of compassion, full of kindness, full of humility, gentleness and patience. You bear with one another. You're quick to forgive each other because you realize that he forgave me, so I live and forgive everybody else. Right? Why did he forgive you? Because he wanted you to enjoy the fullness of him, and then in turn he would get to enjoy the fullness of you. Have you ever stopped to think about this when it comes to interacting with each other? That when you hold things against people and they're in your presence, do you think that you're actually getting to enjoy the fullness of them? Are you? Absolutely not. Because they're living guarded. Because you can just, you know, how many have ever been in the presence of somebody and you kind of knew they were holding something over your head? You live guarded, right? Well, so Father is simply saying, look, I set you free so you could be free, so you make sure that everybody else in your presence stays free too. Nobody should, in your presence, nobody should live guarded, protected, self-preservation any more than you should be living that way in my presence. Because I gave you everything that I am. I put you into the fullness of me. Because I did it on purpose, because I want to enjoy the fullness of you. Now you turn around, and in that fullness of you, you interact with other people in the same way. You get that? What happens in a city when a church or a group of people learn how to live unguarded, not in the arena of self-preservation, and we just flat out don't care what our, quote, image is? What does that look like? Well, it looks like a people who have a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We bear with one another. Frankly, I just don't have enough. I don't have enough time in life to keep track of people who've done me wrong. I really don't care. It's too much energy. Right? It's a lot easier. Have you ever met people that, you know, when you get in their presence, they just make you feel like you want to be in their presence? Because they make you feel like you're special. They don't, you know, that there's not this, there's no facades, there's not, they make you feel valuable. This is really what he's talking about here. What happens in a city when a people learn that no matter who they're standing in front of, those people that they're standing in front of feel valued, and they feel like they can just be normal and natural in what they, because we're not holding anything over their heads. We're not, if they did something that was incorrect or crossed the line, we're quick to forgive them because that's the way your daddy is with you. Again, if we say Jesus is perfect theology, which he is, then before you open your mouth or before you adopt a mindset, plug it into Jesus and see how it looks. If you can't imagine him saying that or thinking that way, then it's probably not something that should be in residence in your head. Right? Because you're not your own. You were bought with a price. So, bear with one another, forgive each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, forgive them. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And then he goes on to say, let the peace of Christ, or the union of Christ, rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called. I mean, no, you have an assignment in one body. And be thankful. So the thought for the day is this. Understand what your daddy did for you. He put you in the fullness of him because he wants to enjoy the fullness of you. If you're going to let him do it, then your best days are ahead. Amen? You get anything out of this? Go ahead and stand up. I feel like I'm going to do some music here. Understand this, guys. Every step of the process that your Father is taking you, he's taking you because he wants to take you to that place of being free from you. Because quite honestly, darkness is not your worst enemy. The devil's not your worst enemy. Demons are not your worst enemy. Your worst enemy is what's between your two ears that you just refuse to think like he does. He's trying to get us to the place where we just think like he does. Paul said it like this, be holy even as he's holy. Well, your immediate thought in your natural head is, well, that's impossible. Ding, 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 ding. What do we have for him, Johnny? Exactly, it's impossible, but you're not supposed to be living in you. You're supposed to be living in the new man. Because he didn't just cover over all your transgressions. He eradicated and then he made you a brand new person. So then he wants you to enjoy his fullness so he can enjoy yours. And when you learn how to not live guarded, not live with an image to protect, then people that are around you feel comfortable being with you and they feel valued in your presence. And then what happens? You get to walk out Jesus to them. Because that is our only call on this planet. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just love you. We praise you, Father. And we thank you for eradicating our transgressions as far as the east is from the west, never to be shown again. And Father, thank you for giving us 100% of you. And thank you for doing it because you wanted to participate in the results of that action and enjoy 100% of us. So put your hands to heaven and just say this from your heart. Father, thank you for giving me the fullness of you. And I tell you that you can have the fullness of me. And we'll walk together all the rest of my life. Because I love you. And I know you love me. And we're golden. Golden. I knew that was going to go over well. Because you are to him. Was that hard to say? As far as he's concerned, you are. Now with that in mind, go make somebody else feel the same way in your presence. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.